Hello, welcome back. Hope your isolation is treating you well. Yes, we're back, we're doing this again. I am Matt Harvey, and I will once again be the bearer of weird news. But before that, before we get to the news, I'm in the arts community, and as a performer, it's been quite difficult recently. The comedy festival was just cancelled. I found out Edinburgh, which I was supposed to be going to, was cancelled. And if you've been enjoying these videos, look, I know these ones in particular are quite new, but if you've been a fan of the podcast just for funny for a little while, or maybe you've been meaning to get out to one of the live shows, but you couldn't make it out for one reason or another. Maybe I haven't been in the city that you've been in. I'm going to be participating in a bit of an interesting experiment. Both Adelaide Fringe and Fringe World Perth are doing virtual Fringe festivals where we can submit virtual Fringe shows. I have a pre-recorded version of my show, I Got Bit by a Monkey Once. It's a storytelling show. It's a comedic storytelling show with four stories, a monkey bite, a long bus trip across America, an arrest, and a mugging. I think you'll really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. I haven't quite figured out the details yet. I don't know what it's going to cost, but I will be back with details about that. And I am trying to get a couple of these just for funny news quizzes going so I can get some comedians on the scene who might also be keen to dust off the old cobwebs and try to be funny for you fine people. I'm going to try and put them into a couple of these festivals. They're called Fringe View. But as I said, I don't know much yet. So please, stay tuned. And I will have some more details for you when they're ready. But for now, let's get to the news. Been desperately seeking news that isn't directly related to the coronavirus, and in order to find that, we've had to get interstellar. So first up, moon news. That's right, we've had to go all the way to the moon to find news that wasn't directly related to coronavirus. Now, the European Space Agency, so basically European NASA, recently conducted an experiment. They mixed materials, including moon rocks, with a common compound found on Earth to test if we could one day use it to build a lunar base. That compound? Urine. More specifically, urea, which is the major organic component of human urine. The ESA really putting the P in European Space Agency. So, in case you're wondering, the liver converts the ammonia to a non-toxic compound, which is called urea, which can be safely transported in the blood to the kidneys, where it is then eliminated in urine, making this a safer building material than most of the ones currently used on Earth. As far as my quick Google search showed, it is not flammable, nor will it cause irreversible lung damage or cancer. Plus, the cultivation of it could be paid for by a series of increasingly unsavory videos tailored to the discerning tastes of their viewers. So we won't have a series of drawn-out debates over who will pay for what wall. Because I know you're curious, the urea itself acts as a plasticizer. That's stuff that allows us to shape harder materials into different forms. So guys, all that practice at the urinals trying to shape urinal cakes, it's now a marketable skill. Look, I know that makes it a male-dominated industry, but we'll work on that. Maybe we'll get some shiwis for the ladies. Now, if you think building sites are vulgar on Earth, just wait till we start getting them on the moon. Look, you can really tell that the isolation is getting a bit much when you're busted trying to make a shelter out of your own urine just to have a place for yourself. But really, we all know the real reason that someone like Jeff Bezos is so desperate to create a space agency is because he wants to escape labor laws. After all, there are no unions on the moon. And, well, let's be honest, Bezos will love this. His employees already collect their urine in bottles, so it won't even have to interrupt their regular workday in order for them to help build the next factory. That's called productivity. Whoever collects the most urine, though, they get to be the team leader at Factory 2. Moving on now to isolation news. The corruption. Coronavirus. You may have heard of it. It's taken many things from us. The bus, going into our day jobs, the sweet serenade of strangers on the street. I mean, most of those things aren't good things, but the world is a bit of a shithole, and the list of bad things is definitely longer than the list of good things. But we can officially add another thing, the dignity of science. It's been robbed from us. As Melbourne-based astrophysicist and failed Tony Stark, Dr. Daniel Reardon ended up in a hospital after an attempt to become the people's hero resulted in him getting 4 magnets stuck up his nose. He achieved this, as he said, as he was trying to liven up the boredom of self-isolation with 4 powerful neodymium magnets. I mean, most of us are just content with a movie, some ice cream, and seeing your evening off of a quiet wank in the other room. But for this young scientist, the siren call of science continues to call him. Or is it that the gentle magnetic pull of science? I always get those 2 things mixed up. He entered into an attempt at inventing a device that stops people from touching their faces during the coronavirus outbreak, presumably because nose picking had become a severe and now deadly household activity. As housemates, no longer contented with the hoarding of toilet paper and flour, have taken to removing of errant boogers from not only their own nose, but turned on each other's noses like a snot-based Smaug. Thus, an elaborate magnet-based protection system would have to be implemented so as to protect the precious nose nuggets to be found within. He attempted to build a circuit that would be completed by the addition of the magnet and create a circuit that would sound an alarm warning them that a nose picking was imminent. However, the academic realized the electronic part that he had, it actually did the opposite and would only complete the circuit when there was no magnetic field present. He told The Guardian, "I accidentally invented a necklace that buzzes continuously unless you move your hand close to your face." He has realized the failed dreams of one Homer J. Simpson and invented his Everything Is Okay alarm.
"Now, here's my Everything's Okay alarm. This will sound every 3 seconds unless something isn't okay."
Last I heard, there was a furious bidding war between schools who are desperately trying to figure out how to stop children from using their phones in the gym. Detention. Moving on, class war news now. Yes, while the war on the poor may never end, the stink at Centrelink, which is the cold sweat over robo-debt, may be coming to an end for many Australians, as the government has admitted it will be forced to refund $550 million that was seized using the decidedly unlawful method of Robonomics, known as income averaging. Now, don't get too excited. It's not unlawful in the way that you and I experience the law, with choices leading to consequences. It's really more of a set of guidelines, very loose guidelines, like how paying your taxes is the law for most of us. The class action, started by firm Gordon Legal and genuine man of the people who lacked the charisma to inspire said people, former Labour leader Bill Shorten. I mean, come on. He should have just ran on the platform of, "I started the Robodebt lawsuit." Why wouldn't he mention that? We really could use a guy who cares about people that much right now. This is a lawsuit that the government was set to lose, and so intended to settle, like all Australians did, when we learned the Prime Ministership would be passed to Scott Morrison. The government has publicly declined to detail its next course of action, hoping to secure as much unlawful gains as it can before we notice, but has publicly said that it has refined the program in response to, quote, feedback, end quote. Now, feedback, in this case, is the government code word for a class-destroying clusterfuck that has mowed down thousands of the most vulnerable Australians, or as they're known in the Liberal government codebook, leeches. In its defence in the class action, the Commonwealth rejected Gordon Legal's arguments of negligence and the claim that the government holds a common law duty of care to Social Security recipients, citing their history of negligent behaviour without repercussion as precedent for the continual punishment of the poor. After all, they aren't banks or mining companies. They can only look after so many people. And the Libs of Australia have made their choice. But in documents obtained by The Guardian, the government argues that it should not be required to pay compensation because Social Security law makes no mention of a need to exercise, quote, due or reasonable care. Well, if it isn't written down, why should it be expected? It can't possibly be beholden to things that aren't written down. More than 600,000 debts have been issued under the RoboDebt scheme, which demanded people provide evidence to prove that they did not underreport their income to Centrelink, which would lead them to be overpaid welfare benefits. If they refused or could not obtain the documents, then a debt was issued. The old burden of proof exercise. It's an asshole move when Ricky Gervais does it, but at least he hasn't caused anyone to die. I mean, you wouldn't expect them to use it in a murder case. Why would it be applicable here? Well, I mean, I have a dead body, and you can't prove you didn't kill it. So, off you come, sunshine. Off to prison with you. It is understood that the government's legal advice is that the class action's claim for negligence is unlikely to succeed, but the applicants are likely to be successful in their claims for unjust enrichment and for interest on refunds. Under the process favoured by the government, potential RoboDebt victims would be expected to self-identify. Oh, I see how it is. So when it comes to this kind of self-identification, the Liberals are all on board, but ask for a gender-neutral toilet and suddenly the government will tell you who you are and where you should pee. Pandemic panic news now. Citizens, we're in a war. And like every time we've been at a war, it's up to our dutiful citizens to do their civic duty. And every country has their own definition of what exactly it means to do your civic duty. The approaches have been as wide and varied as the countries from which they came. In Panama, men and women will be able to leave their homes only for 2 hours at a time and on different days. Some Colombian towns, people are allowed outside based on the last number of their national ID number. So, for example, in, I'm going to butcher this name, Barrancabermeja, sorry guys, with an ID number ending in 0, 7 or 4 are allowed to leave the house on Monday, while those with an ID ending in 1, 8 or 5 can go out on Tuesday, and so on and so forth. Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko laughed off the suggestion that his country should try to stem the spread of the coronavirus because he couldn't see the virus flying around. Now, to be fair, that is because there has been near worldwide cancellation of flights. What are they going to fly around on? And most of the borders are closed, not to mention that there is a little corona in every country already. They've got nowhere to fly to. But none has been so strange as the Malaysian government. They are the only government to have taken the honeymooners as their model for how to handle the coronavirus.
One of these days, I'll write that down.
The Women's Affairs Ministry issued the advice on how to avoid domestic conflicts during their partial lockdown, advising women with the kind of hot takes that would be right at home in an 8chan message board, asking women to not nag their husbands, not be sarcastic if they need help with household chores, and to use humour or imitate an infantile voice of Doraemon, the blue robot cat from Japan. Classy advice. With a series of online posters that include the hashtag, which when translated to Women Prevent COVID-19. So now, on top of looking after the kids, probably cooking all the meals and juggling the emotional labor of a man who really should be able to handle his own shit because, let's face it, he's a big boy businessman working at home without his big boy business pants. Women are also expected to be doctors and prevent the spread of a virus, Betty Drapering any emotions or feelings that they themselves feel, and finish a full Stepford Wife transformation by speaking with a can't you cat voice. I have no idea if that's an accurate voice, but I'm going to run with it anyway. That strikes me as the fastest way to end up as the subject of the next hot isolation murder speculation docuseries, COVID Queen. Now, to date, they are the only government to officially apologize for their recommendations. They certainly aren't the only ones who should apologize, but they are the only ones who have. Which is more than I can say for our team, led by our unquestionable leader, Jesus Christ, as Prime Minister and stock model for a confused dad trying to understand TikTok, Scott Morrison has offered a prayer for the National Cabinet to stay, quote, strong and united, end quote, and committed the Australian nation to God during times of, quote, great need and suffering, end quote, as it responds to COVID-19. Is he Jesus take the wheeling our country? As much as I would rather the Prime Minister not take guidance from 2005 American Idol winner Carrie Underwood, especially when even the website SongFacts advises that letting Jesus take the wheel is not the advised method of getting out of a black eye situation, I'm sure it's fine when it comes to running a country. And honestly, it is still a stronger decision. Let's call it a decision. It's still a stronger decision than the decision to let landlords and tenants thunderdome their way through rental negotiations. On to not at all surprising news now. Less than a week into starting to pay the government's multi-billion dollar stimulus package and kickstarting this damn economy so we can get back to exploiting these lazy bums sitting at home doing the laziest civic duty ever, employers are trying to extort workers over their JobKeeper fees. Yeah, that's right. Businesses enrolled in the government's JobKeeper scheme have started their own sub-scheme, the Funds Keeper scheme, possibly taking inspiration from the government themselves and their clever taxing scheme. Some businesses are now claiming that they are entitled to an administration fee to be either taken from the $1,500 payment to the employees or, in an even more humbling attempt to remind them of who is the boss, making the employees return funds to the business after they have cleared their own books of the obvious misdeeds. Prime Minister Scott Morrison, seen here with all his friends, says that they can expect to feel the full weight of the law. And his fat-shaming of our police officers aside, this is a surprising move from a man who has failed to previously protect workers, unions, or to punish businesses who do simple things like refuse to pay taxes. So he put his most appropriately named minister on it, Michaelia Cash, expecting that nominative determinism will drive Michaelia to do what it is best for the cash. She has said the penalty for businesses who tried to rort the system would be a harsh to be decided at the discretion of the ATO commissioner. Oof, brutal. I find it hard that they would be laying out such harsh and uncompromising clear punishments for these business pirates. Though, it still stands as one of the hardest punishments laid out for white-collar criminals who steal from their employees. Cultural shift news now. The director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and a key member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force and Granddad Squad Goals Bingo, Anthony Fauci, suggested that Americans should never shake hands again. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal, Dr. Fauci revealed his true feelings on shaking hands in the post-corona world, saying, quote,
"When you gradually come back, you don't jump into it with both feet."
Demonstrating a strong misunderstanding of the science and language of handshakes. But to be fair, his specialty is immunology, and most of that happens inside the body. And he has probably never shaken a hand in his life, because this really feels like a personal agenda.
You say, you know, what are the things that you could still do and still approach normal? One of them is absolute compulsive hand washing. The other one is you don't ever shake anybody's hands. That's clear. I don't think we ever should ever shake hands ever again, to be honest with you.
The handshake had already started to lose favor with wild misuse by public figure and man attempting to join every secret society at once, Donald Trump. Not to mention the creeping presence of the plucky upstart, the fist bump, coming for the crown. And as modern day philosopher and Scar Aficionado magazine man of the year Omar Little once said,
"Hey, yo, lesson here, babe. You come at the king, you best not miss."
It would be quite a blow to bro culture.
But the modern reason for shaking hands is so you could get a gauge on someone's character. If they shake your hand firm enough, if their hands are sweaty or not, it's a gauge of character.
As they will no longer be able to assess a fellow man's level of manliness, an ability to overthrow them in a coup situation by secretly squeezing their hand upon first meeting a strange new man, and gone will be the tried and... tired old handshake fake out. The psych new alternatives for handshakes will be... waving, the aforementioned fist bump, the return of the curtsy, this will be adopted by all genders, staring longingly across the room, dance battle greetings, mild psychic intrusions, and obsessively washing your hands in front of the other person while maintaining an unblinking eye contact as a sign of polite civility. It's bias choice, really, but form your allegiance now and stubbornly refuse to adapt. If the handshake goes, there will definitely have to be some other greeting changes, like the kiss on the cheek. Gone, effectively killing the personality of your friends who went to Europe that one summer. It will, however, see the unfortunate rise of these handshake alternatives, the Namaste, a greeting performed by white people who have been to India, even if it was Sri Lanka, or who do yoga, even if it is Pilates. Finger guns, the preferred greeting method of the office cowboy, the salute for the socially awkward, and the anime V, a frontrunner, much beloved by anime fans and fans of anime fans. Though we here at Weird News are putting our flag firmly in the camp of the Wiggles hand wiggle. It's close to finger guns, but it's family friendly with the added bonus of establishing that you are anti-pedophile. Which doesn't seem like a strong position to take, but with so many prominent Australian politicians and public figures showing support for George Pell, it's best to draw your line big and obviously. And finally, hoarding news. Hoarding has reached its natural endpoint as panicked men across the United States are facing their mortality and deciding to save a little sperm for future use should the coronavirus rob them of their fertility. Since the attempted beginning of a lockdown in order to prevent COVID-19, a lot of services have been facing new and difficult questions. Mainly, am I essential? Both a question of employment and a philosophical conundrum for the minimum wage as we battle robots and disease and the metaphorical sins of our father vis-a-vis climate change, enter a new contender in a battle for relevance and leaving a legacy. Seems not all of us can afford to build a rocket to fly our staff to the moon and start a new Mad Max style society, albeit one at 1/6 gravity, which will make the stunts a lot less spectacular and the flaming guitar much less impressive, as the distinct lack of oxygen does take away from the scale of the flame, mostly from some to none. Enter at-home sperm storage. Now, apparently, there are a few companies that participate in this distinct kind of sperm collection. All of the comfort of home and none of the pressure of not wanting to take up a room for too long, but wanting to be in there long enough that you don't seem like you have no control over the speed of your ejaculation. Now, I am not entirely convinced this is actually an irrational fear of losing sperm or sperm potency, but merely an excuse to be masturbating every day while you're locked away and not have it just be a distinct lack of imagination and ability to make a proud choice about your desire to rub one out on your lunch break between sandwiches because you aren't wearing pants anyway, and the man won't even let you get your dick out at work anymore. It's PC culture gone mad, if you ask me. This, to me, is the natural endpoint of all this hoarding we've been seeing. Pasta, toilet paper, hand lotion. Better start seeing videos, well, I mean, obviously not on YouTube, but like somewhere, probably Pornhub, of Rube Goldberg-esque machines that will entertainingly place the sperm within the container and maybe help these people earn some extra money while they're out of work. I mean, we can replace at least one event in the Olympics with this, as this is a competition that can and probably should be done in isolation. And let's face it, Japan does have a reputation for weird sex. Cranking one out for Australia. Go for gold in the Lube Goldberg machine category. And don't try to tell me the Olympics is above this sort of behavior. Every year, there are thousands of condoms given for free to the athletes, and in 2020 specifically, there was a planned launch of an ultra-thin condom, putting an extra layer of shame on the already complicated world of sex and shame by body-shaming bigger condoms, regular condoms, condoms who don't feel that they need to conform to society's unrealistic condom shape standards. Another condom launch planned was to put traditional art on the condoms so as to make people forget about hentai and instead maybe think about breeding super babies by putting humanity's fittest people together in one place and have such athletic sex that they had to put a press release out assuring athletes that the beds were indeed strong enough for their powerful, powerful super baby sex. Thanks for listening. Thanks for making it to the end. I know things are a little weird at the moment. I hope you are safe and I hope you are okay. I hope you have somewhere to shelter and that you have someone that you love to shelter with. Look after yourselves. Wash your hands. We're going to get through to the other side eventually, though it may take a little bit longer than we expect. Do your best. And thanks for listening.